Network, because you can handle the truth.
Listening to Perception Management. Today is September 8th, 2019. Tonight's show has a dual purpose, so I hope you go along with that and follow me. There's also a little bit of humor in here, as I've always mentioned here, that it seems like the only thing people care about nowadays is the enlargement of their penises and stuff like that, so I'm going to follow into this. But if you recall here, about 2 weeks ago, I did an article on the proposed population displacement by the UN, in which America would be, by 2050, listed as over 1.2 billion people. And in 2016, the UN report that just from three countries alone, they have already moved 240 million people. And of course, they omitted the fact that this was due to these coalition wars. And if you'd like to get the scope of this, you might download the PDF called Crisis, or Democracy in Crisis. Was it Crisis and Democracy? Anyway. It's from the Trilateral Commission. This was put out mid-70s by Brzezinski and those guys, but it highlighted many different things, like freedoms. In Europe, their goal is freedom from. In the United States, it's freedom to. So a lot of people want freedom from government, and that's why you have all this. It's a different form of what you'd call socialism. People just want to be left alone, do their own thing. And of course, as this population is being displaced into their communities, it is causing problems. And with all that comes the different social barriers and the gender manipulation that they're having now. All these are being done for a reason. And that's to get you to accept more and more of these immigrants. And these, again, this is a UN agenda. And I've seen on Twitter here recently a bunch of photos of the new wall that's going up down there on the border, and it just looks like a screen door, basically, compared to what, say, Israel has. But anyway, so as I said, you know me, I've always used that adage there that people only care about their penises. So with that, I'll give you some history and culture to lead you into tonight's show. So imagine, if you will, and this is directed more towards the male listeners, that you're on some vacation, and it might be fashioned as a scene out of one of those pages of National Geographic magazines, where it takes you to one of the most remote and dense, beautiful Indonesian islands that's called Papua New Guinea. As you walk around, you see the local native population, men who wrap their penises with the tubes or grass that's in very different, varied in different sizes and shapes. And of course, there are two particular tribes there, the Malakulu, known as the Big Nambas, and the Small Nambas. A lot of wordplay in there. But anyway, some of the sociologists and anthropologists over there have thought that the size had to do with the status. But this theory has been proven wrong. So size doesn't matter, boys. Instead, the different sizes that they use, these paleocrypt men within the tribe might wear, has more to do with function. A shorter one is used for working, while the more elaborate versions are donned for festivals. And as you can see that from the pictures you may have seen of these, they are tied on with a loop or string around the scrotum and everything like that. But what this all boils down to is a lifestyle that's so unique. These guys use these to basically cover their genitals in public and stuff, but also it's to protect themselves when they're out hunting and stuff. After all, when you're jumping over a tree running after game and stuff, you don't want to rake the boys, if you know what I mean. But this is it's known as an ornament, just like loincloths or underwear here are. And here in America, you can go to a Walmart and you can find various types of different underwear that men wear and stuff like that. And a lot of times, like I say, it's just more of it's a status type thing, you know. It just some guys like to show off their things and other guys don't. But what I'm getting at here is a people that has total living in the wild on an island. It's like, who would care what you're wearing like that? You know, just as long as you cover yourself, basically. And that's the point of it. But with that comes big corporation. And to lead you into that, I've got a video clip here that I'm going to try to get in here. But General MacArthur's troops during the Pacific War were accompanied to West Papua. And this was by a geological teams. And they found high concentrations of copper, gold, nickel, and oil. And this video that I'm going to be playing here is just an excerpt. I'll give you the link in the chat room for you to watch the entire video, because Noam Chomsky has some good points on it. It's not Noam's video there, by the way. But what it is a systematic genocide of a people to steal their wealth. And we see this over and over again. Right now they're targeting Venezuela. Right now they're targeting Iran. And of course, with the wars comes a massive movement of people. So with that, I'll have Kenneth start my little video. It's about 7 minutes, about 10 minutes long. So we'll go into there, okay?
Who have lived there since time began, have been fighting for independence ever since. The Indonesian military, in an attempt to crush the Papuan struggle, have killed over 150,000 people.
John Peterson Koen founded Old Batavia in 1619, the Dutch have slowly extended their dominion over the Indies. Until today, they rule over an area 62 times larger than the mother country. Their just and beneficial rule over Java and its 42 million souls, which makes it the most densely populated area in the world, and their successful supervision over the other islands in the archipelago, has proven them to be the greatest colonizers of all time.
Well, what you've got there in Indonesia is, in fact, an empire itself. I mean, although we imagined after the Second World War that by transferring power to local entities that were successors to the colonial regimes, we were in some way giving effect to the will of the people, the local people, we perpetuated local empires which the European powers had established. In the case of Indonesia, of course, it's the empire of the Javanese, because historically, if you go back before the Dutch occupation, these were all separate territories. They were ruled by their own people. There was no question that, for example, the West Papuans or the Achenese were ruled from miles and miles away in Java. And this is the reason why you have problems there, that the military regime in Jakarta is trying to impose on the outlying territories of the archipelago a rule which was historically never there before. The Indonesia is a fiction, it's a fabrication of the Javanese regime, which they were fortunate enough to inherit from the Dutch.
In 1949, Holland transferred sovereignty of the Dutch East Indies to the Republic of Indonesia, except for West Papua.
The United States supported Indonesian independence in the late 1940s. The reason was that Indonesia was a Dutch colony, and the United States was anti-imperialist in the technical sense that it wanted to dismantle the traditional imperial system so that it could take them over for itself and incorporate them into its own neo-colonial system. So in that sense, the United States was in fact anti-imperialist. It supported Indonesian independence, expecting that Indonesia would accommodate itself to the designated function. That didn't quite work out, and during the 1950s, the United States and Indonesia had rather hostile relations. At the same time, the United States continued to provide arms to Indonesia. This, incidentally, is a classic pattern. When you want to overthrow a government, what the classic pattern is to maintain very hostile relations with it, at the same time to arm it. The purpose is to find elements within the military who will be capable of carrying out a military coup and overthrowing the government that you're trying to get rid of.
Now I have taken the decision that I, President, Supreme Commander of the Armed Forces of the Republic of Indonesia, appoint Major General Suharto, where is the man? This man. I appoint him as Minister, Commander of the Army.
In October 1965, the United States was rewarded with a military coup by a pro-American general, General Suharto, who immediately organized and carried out a large-scale slaughter. According to Indonesian sources, about 700,000 people were killed in 4 months, mostly landless peasants. This wiped out the only mass-based popular political organization in Indonesia, the Indonesian Communist Party. And in fact, it opened Indonesia to complete robbery on the part of Western corporations. Indonesia was now available to fulfill its designated function.
West Papuans consist of tribal groups who have lived for centuries as autonomous group. So we talk about Asmat people, we talk about Arfak people, we talk about Imotu people or Paniai people, and all these tribal groups all together is well known under the name West Papuans. But in fact, they are all different autonomous groups. And the tribal people have been forced to deliver cheap labor. They do not get any compensation. And if they protested, they will be tortured for that, and at the end they will be killed for the fact that they ask for better salary or better treatment. But this, the company and the governments in general do not respect. The only thing they need is the wood, is the fish, or the gold, or the copper, and they are not interested in the rights of the local people.
De Amerikanen onder generaal MacArthur heroverden op 23 april 1944 het eerste stuk Nederlands grondgebied. Hollandia, met een symbolische naam, was weer vrij. Detachementen van het Koninklijk Nederlands-Indische leger waren met de Amerikaanse troepen geland en gingen onmiddellijk in actie.
Most of the capital comes from the United States, from Japan and from South Africa. Those are the main investors in West Papua.
Yeah, we consider any foreign company operating in West Papua as thieves, because we are the righteous owner of the country, of the land, and what's on it, and what's around it, and what's in it, under it. But still, these companies do not deal with the West Papuans. They deal with the Indonesian government. Due to the framework that they had constructed this construction, this international conspiracy, in order to get their hands on the natural resources in West Papua. This we come to understand now. By supporting the Indonesian military system under Suharto, by having a big military support to this Indonesian army, which operate in East Timor and in West Papua, and in the other parts of Indonesia too, they control the whole area. And by stabilizing the country, and by having this a tremendous transmigration program coming in, they neutralize the population in West Papua. And all these enterprises can only operate if the situation is safe.
After Brazil, Indonesia has the largest remaining rainforest on the planet. And since there has been pretty widespread destruction of the tropical forest in Kalimantan and Sulawesi and Sumatra and the other islands, the exploitation has moved to West Papua. The destruction of the West Papuan forest has many aspects. First of all, of course, there is logging. There are the logging concessions, and according to the SCEPI, which is one of the 10 or 20 Indonesian environmental groups, more than 70% of the forest lands of West Papua have been granted to concession holders. I think the other thing is that it is not only the logging, it is also road building and dam building and other projects undertaken by the Indonesian government that are wrecking not only the forest but the lives of the people who live off the forest and to whom forest is home.
Of the Indonesian government's income is derived from oil exports. One-third of this oil comes from West Papua. Today, there are at least a dozen multinational oil companies operating in the territory.
West Papua is now becoming sort of open sesame for the mining companies on a much grander scale. This is partly to help Indonesia to, what is it, repay its debts to the West, because it's got a huge foreign debt of about $50 billion, and to, what is it, reduce Indonesia's dependence on oil and natural gas, and to try to expand the, to diversify Indonesian exports. So West Papua is the target, very much the target, one of the main targets for this new expansion of mineral exploitation, and Freeport is playing a big role in that. As well as Ingold, the Inco subsidiary. which is also in exploring now the possibility of developing mineral mining activities in West Papua.
In West Papua, the U.S.-based mining giant Freeport Sulphur Incorporated operates the world's largest copper mine.
Yeah, the exploitation of the largest copper mine in the world is not benefiting the people who have been living there for centuries. Again, it's like with all the other investments in West Papua. They do not like to have Papuan laborers in their workforce because, according to them, the Papuans do not have the discipline. So people from abroad are brought in to have the job. And sometimes the Papuans can do some dirty work, but most of them, they just are pushed aside. They have to leave their lands and try to survive in the surrounding.
All right. Sounds good. We've got an echo here for some reason. You'll notice here the list of those countries that have had the same thing happen to them over and over and over again, and some of them operate in Papua New Guinea area. All to do with this transmigration again is moving displacement of people. Is Lavlin out of Canada in oil, was also Amoco USA, the Atlantic Richfield USA, BHP Australia, Chevron USA, ESCO USA, Marathon UK, Mobil USA, Petromina, which is Indonesia, Philips, which is USA, Shell UK, which is out of Holland, Texaco out of US, and Total, which is out of France. And in the logging, this Mamberamo is out of Australia. This Austria Scott is out of the USA. Sagin Do is out of Japan. And the mining comes out of Australia and Freeport USA. In Gold out of Canada. And another one out of the UK there, this Canala Brungag. But what's interesting about this is a massive amount of population displacement. And as always, it always has something to do about oil, minerals. And if you don't understand how this actually works, you have to think of the Lakota Indians. Remember back in the early 1800s, they found gold in the South Hills. And the Lakotas have been attacked ever since. When they had fought for, actually when they were fighting for their own reservation standards and stuff, and this was because the Lakotas had a massive uranium operation there. And of course, this was fueled during the days of the Cold War, as well as we see over in Washington State there with Hanford, that people just get in the way, so they get rid of them. And this is done through massive migration, the massive genocides. I mean, how many people do you have to think about that? And the only thing to really understand this is when you start reading what's all behind this. And what gets me is that the information is freely out there. And, of course, the media likes to bury it on page 12 or something like that. That's the same thing with Cuba, zinc, all this stuff. The CIA's role in Indonesia's mass slaughter of 1965 to 1966. The story came out from the CIA's role in provoking the slaughter of between 500,000 and 1 million people or more came to the surface in late March of 1981 when Ralph McGee, a former CIA officer, appealed to the Federal District Court in Washington, D.C., against the CIA censorship of an article he had written for The Nation. McGee in his article expressed the belief that the captured documents on the El Salvador were fabricated. What the hell's that? Get some of the noise. These captured documents were as a result of the CIA's work in Indonesia back in 1965. McGee's story is added in here. I've got the whole thing here, but it goes on to talk about here that the CIA's greatest wholesale slaughter of human beings since the Nazis' extermination of the Jews. You know, they always put that in there, but after describing the CIA's failed paramilitary operations to oust the Indonesian president Sukarno in 1958, McGee wrote, "What that massive military campaign failed to accomplish was achieved later by a simple CIA nine-letter word." Of course, it's censored there, and of course, it goes back to deception. This operation, McGee went on to describe as a failed coup attempt at the night of September 30th, October 1st of 1965, in which six top military officials were assassinated in the wake of the coup failure. What gets me is if you watch this entire video, you see how the U.S., as usual, has a massive amount of guns flowing into an area. So like whether it's Libya, Syria, El Salvador, Nicaragua, there's always a massive amount of arms that go in. And then, of course, they use these patsies like the Contras to start slaughtering basically humans that just want to live. They want their own plot of land, raise their family and stuff. And, of course, the propaganda starts up. And that's so that Americans will accept this, just like with the buildup into Nicaragua and the Cuba, always in the news. This is why you have – I don't know what I keep getting that beat for. Anyway, that's why you always have movies that come out like Red Dawn, where it was a bunch of Soviets – these Nicaraguans and Cubans that are landing on a football field there in Colorado and going to get their butts kicked by a bunch of American teenagers. You know, these are all conditioning videos to let you know what's coming. And your local TV shows depict this, whether it's NCIS and all that, they always have some terrorist, and it's going to be an Iranian or something like that. And this is to get Americans to accept what's going on, as those guys are evil. And what it is it's those people in power today with their insidious wars on the indigenous people of the world. And what's bad about it, it's all done in your name. Is Indonesia a threat to us? No. But as mentioned there, like with Indonesia, it's the massive amount of debt that's caused from it. East Timor, once they found oil off of East Timor, then came the systematic slaughter of where the U.S. backed the Indonesian side to go into East Timor. And there, again, hundreds of thousands were slaughtered. People should know what's being done in the world. And that's why when you listen, or like us on Twitter and stuff, when you listen to State Department, Pompeo, and that idiot Bolton, when they start talking about these so-called regimes, they're just prepping people for what's coming. Anyway, the phone lines are open, 1-800-313-9443. There's other articles here, too. This article was written in 2006, where it says, report, U.S. armed helped Indonesia attack East Timor. And this goes on to say, this is from the United Nations. It says, U.S. political and military support for Indonesia was vital to its ability to invade East Timor in December of 1975 and to sustain a brutal 24-year occupation that cost the lives of over 100,000 people. And, I mean, this goes on and on. And these people, as noted, are zero threat to Americans. Zero threat to our national security, but that's what they want you to believe. Anyway, I hear the music barely. So we'll be right back here right after the break here. Stay tuned. Again, 1-800-313-9443.
I'll do anything you ask me to. And if you want another kind of love, I'll wear a mask for you. If you want a partner, take my hand. Or if you want to strike me down in anger, here I stand, I'm your man. If you want a boxer, I will step into the ring for you. And if you want...
At RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea. And YouTube, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
Well, my friends are gone and my hair is gray. I ache in the places where I used to play, and I'm crazy for love, but I'm not coming home. I'm just paying my rent every day in the Tower of Song. I said to Hank Williams, how lonely does it get? Hank Williams hasn't answered yet, but I hear him coughing all night long. Oh, 100 floors above me in the Tower of Song.
All right, welcome back, everyone. My audio is cutting out here for some reason tonight here. So, but anyway, I hope you bear with me here. You know, this isn't just inherent, as I was talking about, to the United States only, because there's a lot of different ventured interest in here. Right now, Mugabe is in the news. And, you know, when you start looking up the so-called sordid history of these brutal dictators and stuff, you realize that all the time there's another player behind there. And one such player comes from a special branch officer who saw the CBD work, and this is Michael J.P. McGinnis, Mac. It's elaborated on the tale of the CBD effort that he had previously told other researchers there, and McGinnis, his promise in this story, he deserves more of an introduction here. McGinnis was born in 1932 in the UK there, and in a suburb of London there. Raised in a nice Irish family, proud of his Irish roots. And I get a whole bunch of beeps on this thing for some reason. Anyway, but he was a proud son of a police officer who turned a publican. At the age of 18, McGinnis enlisted in the Royal Air Force and served as a military policeman for 9 years. On January 1953, he joined the BSAP and rose through the ranks to become a highly decorated officer before retiring in 1980. On retiring, McGinnis moved to South Africa, where he maintained close ties with both South African intelligence as well as Mugabe's Central Intelligence Organization. McGinnis, his ties to Zimbabwe's CIO, remained close until the day that he was brutally murdered in his home on July 4th, 2011. But when you look at what he'd done, says as an operator, Mac was often personally involved in the special branch activities as part of this Salau Scouts, rarely seen in uniform. Mac typically himself was seen dressed as in a T-shirt, hiking boots and shorts with a full beard, by conventional standards a maverick. He self-confessedly was responsible for possibly hundreds of non-judicial killings. And you know, this goes on and on, and this is why I give so much credit to those like Philip Agee, John Stockwell, and others that have come forward out of the CIA to report about their evil doings. I don't know if it's to clear their conscience or what, or just to wake up the people to what is actually going on. And again, these are all done in your names. And things like this are what we should realize, because like right now, it's when everyone or anyone ever tries to declare their independence or something like that, that suddenly all hell breaks out for them. And this was seen all down through Latin America. These were Catholic and Protestant communities. They weren't communist. Well, they may have had some influence with Russia and stuff like that, arms deals, whatever like that, just like United States, you know. But we can think now here recently, you know, whenever there's an anti-peace or anti-war movement, I guess you call it, that they're always infiltrated, because this is what makes the world go round. Trump's recently, his thought of buying Greenland. Now, why is that in the news here? Because the Greenland just separated from the Dutch again. And, of course, if you realize what Trump said, by the use of strategic, is what Trump said. And Greenland's natural resources are coal, iron, ore, lead, zinc, diamonds, gold, platinum. The list goes on. Uranium, fish, seals, whales, hydropower possibilities, oil and gas. This is all it's about. Meanwhile, Americans are living in tent cities. They're crapping in the streets. And all they care about is these massive corporation deals. And they usually force out the indigenous populations. So as a comment I can recall there from the late Gore Vidal, who was similar to the what was mentioned here with New Guinea, that in that entire video you see how the clergy went into New Guinea to, as Al Gore would say, was to bring the Christians to Christianity to the savages. And then, as he said, they did. They got Christian burials. Here locally, there's a Catholic church located here in St. Ignatius here, not too far from me. It's called the Missions. And the Catholics used to pass out chocolate to get the native children to come. But they never really established much of a following because the natives had their tribal elders. So how did the church rectify that? Well, they made up the elders into saints. And their large images now hang in the ceilings with the others. They're in like St. Luke, St. Peter, and others. This is to deculturize people, to get them to accept other things. That one video called what was it called, Indian Giver on YouTube a couple years ago. It was a young, handsome Michigan Indian boy over in Michigan, as mentioned, and how they made him cut his hair, had him cut it again, had him cut it again. By the time he got done, he looked like a military cadet. He could no longer wear his native beads or any of that stuff. And this is to assimilate populations into this so-called American dream, westernization, because, believe me, people can't live without being westernized, you know. And we see this, no matter whether it's BLM, the land seizures, anyone that wants to live independent and just go on their own and say, you know, like I mentioned in the Trilateral Commission report, there is freedom from and freedom to. And America, it's freedom to. They want to be able to go out and do what they want. And that Trilateral report goes on and on talking about the sexual revolution, what people want for their rights. And they don't realize that to bring that, it means that they're going to have to step on someone else's lives. And this is through this mass indoctrination of Western corporations into those areas. Just like the AFL-CIO was heavily sponsored by the CIA. These go in and they bust up unions, because anyone that forms any kind of a resistance to this corporation stuff is thrown out to the streets. The you know, governments and corporations and the United Nations don't care a damn about people. It's all about stealing from others and for these corporate profits. And now if you look at it, the same pattern is now being pushed on America, with more immigrants, and the corporations are getting filthy rich in doing so. You don't see them worried about Americans living on the streets. You're supposed to worry, though, about who you're going to vote for to bring into this next election period. But will anything change? No. For decades now, I have watched this country going downhill. It's not like it was in the after the so-called revolutionary bust of the post-war era, where everyone had under the NSC 68 and the Marshall Plan, where all that exported U.S. goods were going overseas. Well, see, they changed that. Now, after destroying countries or getting into a country in a covert way, the big corporations fired all those American workers who in turn lost their apartments or homes, their vehicles, their credit scores. As these corporations outsource their jobs, the CEOs got paid millions of dollars in bonuses, and that's so that you can wear products that say made in China, made in Malaysia, made in Hong Kong. Right now we see the uprising in Hong Kong, where they're running around singing the American national anthem over there, waving American flags. I guess they forgot what happened about 100 years ago with the Indochina opium wars in Hong Kong. But this is on a mass scale of where those duped people in Hong Kong think that this democracy is so great that's pushed here by the West is so good, and it's no different than the Hispanics that are coming up from over the border there. What are they going to do? Join, even after illegally voting, into a system that's going to leave them at the side of the road living in tents? And that's important to realize, that people are being socially manipulated. And then all these stupid diversions, like on Twitter, on stupid trending things, some actors doing this or that. Who cares? You know? Is that going to make or break your day, what some actor is doing, or what some other politician thinks about some other stupid thing? It's like these guys are all put in there as a front to keep you guys so busy that you don't care what's going on. Worry about yourself, just like the Trilateral Report says. That's all they want you to do. Worry about what you're doing. Anyway, phone lines open, 1-800-313-9443. I see even my box had dropped off here. It may have been my granddaughter on the Wi-Fi there. But anyway, the more you look at history, you get to feeling of why we're at the position where we're at now. And I'll give you a good illustration. The collapse of the Soviet Union was because of its constant militarization there. And of course, this was done by design. The Cold War, the constant arms, and what happened out of that is right after 91, when the Soviet Union fell, what did the United States do? Well, in 91, George Bush Sr. Started his campaign into Iraq, Panama, and the constant military buildup hasn't stopped. And then it was Iraq 2.0, Afghanistan, Libya, and this is a system that is masked with debt, and the people are going to suffer for it. Anyway, Carlton in Montana, good evening. Hope you're having a nice night tonight.
Yes, sir. How you doing? I'm here in
Hang
Detroit.
On there. You getting rain over where you're at?
Yeah, it rained yesterday, this morning, and then now it's somewhat overcast.
Yeah, it's pouring over here.
The sun's coming down, the crickets are starting to chirp, and so.
Anyway, what's on your mind now, man?
Couple things. You just mentioned the Bushes. They went back to, not only what you just mentioned, World War II, Prescott Bush, the grandfather. He funded and made a lot of money on funding the enemies and the and our friends, and so anyway, up here in Northwest Montana, have you noticed the trains? They're just running a lot of them through.
I have seen that. Going through town here, we're getting like four a night now, and that's during the early morning hours. And I always want to spin my outdoor cam to see if they're loaded with military equipment.
Yeah, a friend of mine that lives near them has seen some odd-shaped containers and camouflaged. They're running. They used to be like 110 cars, and it looks like they're longer than that. Where they put on a whole new signaling system, and where they can't ever possibly have accidents or anything, or so. They installed those things, and so they're just running a lot through. They're not stopping anymore to wait for other cars or trains, and just a lot more traffic. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, when you look at the Baltic Dry Index, it's not shipping of stuff that people are buying. So it's got to be something else that's that they're moving through.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Come to think of it, they run the tanker cars from North Dakota and grain from the Midwest, and they'll have you'll see some loads where they're mixed with different. Some of them are containers, semi trailers. Some of them are mixed, and what else they're running.
Yeah, there's I have an image. It's a clipping from the New York Times. It's dated 1930s there, but it says war profits are up 800%, and we know that from like I.G. Farben and those guys that helped build the so-called German Empire that later went to war. This is the same premise as I mentioned before with Syria, Libya, where the Congress approves a massive arms and training of these jihadists called moderate rebels that go in there and systematically slaughter people. And all they care about in the interim there is either land grabbing for a specific purpose and oil or whatever other mineral. And, of course, these other countries like Libya, Venezuela, Iraq, suddenly, or Ukraine, the gold. Tons of gold is suddenly missing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that and political things, like when Clinton got busted with Monica Lewinsky, right that very next day or so, they had Operation Foxfire or something. I might be wrong, but something like that. They went into Iraq, and they just, they lied and said there was some sort of genocide or something like that. And they just bombed all these people, killed thousands of innocent civilians just to get the cameras off Monica Lewinsky and getting impeached.
Carlton, that was a diversion. Because remember, I have a video on my YouTube site. It's K7KTR. But there's a video there on, it says Trey Gowdy, but in it, remember, Bill Clinton had sold China all that U.S. missile technology, and this would have been treason. And of course, to divert Americans from this, and of course, that money was confirmed to have gone into Clinton's reelection campaign, no different than Hillary selling uranium or any of this other stuff. But since Americans love sex, they can buy into that. And that's the greatest diversion you ever got, whether Trump's having an affair or anyone else. Anyway, I got a break coming up here. If you want to hang on, I'll get right back to you, okay?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. 1-800-313-9443.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. You're listening to Perception Management here. We're speaking with Carlton here in Montana also. You know, Carlton, as I was telling you there about the Bill Clinton's selling U.S. missile tech to China there, it is no different than reading in the article on Military Times there about how Israel was selling China U.S. missile tech. And as I mentioned, this is to constantly keep the fear going that, okay, well, we need to build up our supplies and blah, 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 you know. You have to realize, like, this last year, $701 billion are going to the Pentagon. And if you average this up and look at, say, even North Korea, and over the years from 1950s forward, the billions of dollars that have been soaked from the American public through taxes there, that they're trying to tell you that out of all that spending, they can't even defend the country?
Yeah, they can't even keep up our infrastructure.
Or it's like when Trump launched those 59 Tomahawk missiles there at Syria. They're $1.8 million apiece. You know, forget people starving in the streets and stuff, you know. Forget tent cities. Got to have them jobs. You know, like Brian Williams, the splendor of those beautiful missiles. These guys are sick.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to my friend Carl, who gets out here once in a while there. The fact that how the U.S. lost $700 million of ammo over in Afghanistan. I could see losing a box of ammo, but $700 million? Or the article on Fox News where it says that the U.S. Army won't break ties with Al-Qaeda-tied firms, citing due process. You know, it's all a charade. Or how the TOW missiles and stuff on Business Insider, the TOW missiles are in the hands of ISIS. It's to keep the wars going as a premise to keep the United States there, like in Syria. The United States is illegally in a sovereign country. And after this last Israeli strike against Syria, and also Iraq, that Iraq told the U.S. to get out. Now, what's the U.S. going to do? They're going to stay there. You don't tell the United States what to do. And also, the fact is those soldiers, U.S. soldiers, who are shot, maimed, or killed like that, are usually killed by the previous arms that went to those rapacious regimes that they now want to topple. They arm them first. Yeah, they arm them first, and then they send the troops in.
Yeah. What Clinton did, a retired Air Force officer was telling me that when they went into Waco, Texas, his perception was they closed the base out there, and they took the armament, some of it, out of there. And while that was going on, they brought in Chinese troops to train. Clinton trained them for some classified nuclear.
Carl, there's always cross training of troops and stuff. But what got me is I remember when Israel was sending arms down into the Contras there, and this was all set up by the U.S. to bypass what Congress knew, you know. But Israel realized how bad it was getting, and kudos for them, that they actually marked the crates of weapons as CIA weapons, to which they were inspected, and that shut that down. But, you know, when you start thinking I know for a fact that everyone that was around during the Contras is alive today and in the government, whether it's William Barr, Donald Trump, which was linked to spending that college's funds on that. Oliver North, who just resigned from the NRA, how did he get past the DEA, FBI, ATF, and all that after doing all those arms and drugs, all admitted in congressional testimony? How did he even get near a gun that caused hundreds of thousands of people to die?
Yeah.
All right, I guess this is the end of my show here, so...
What was your site on YouTube, K7, what?
Yeah, K7, KTR.
KTR. It's on YouTube?
Yeah, it's on YouTube, and it'll say Trey Gowdy, We Make Law.
Okay.
And I put that video together about 3 or 4 years ago, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right, well, my best to you, Carlton. You have a good one over there, okay? All right, anyway, thanks for everyone in the chat room. Sorry I didn't get much of stuff here because of the technical problems here, but it may have been my granddaughter, I don't know. She got home here, and the Wi-Fi started acting up or something like that, but even my chat room, it dropped off there. So, anyway, catch you next Sunday there. Thank you, Kenneth, in the control room, all the listeners out there, and... remember, things are never what they appear to be. There's the perception management. They're always trying to get you to see things their way, which justifies the genocide of other people to steal their riches, whether it's oil, mineral, or what. So anyway, have a good evening, and we'll chat later.
Take Extendabite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN.